Sail to the Moon by Radiohead. That's from their 2003 album, Hail to the Thief. Maybe you'll be president and know right from wrong. Or in a flood, you'll build an ark and sail us to the moon. Welcome to The Conversation on Coastal Community Radio. This is a live call-in show. We want to hear from members of the community about the topic of the week. Today's topic is the coronavirus and all concerns related. Now, do you live in an area where you have cruise ships coming to port? Or do you live in an area where there's been a run on hand sanitizer, toilet paper? What do you think? Is this blown out of proportion? Is this a pandemic? Is it somewhere in between? What is this leading to? Is it going to fizzle out in April when it gets warm? So what about rationing and preparation? This feels like a good practice run for the unexpected. Did anyone expect a run on hand sanitizer and toilet paper? But what if there was a run on something we really need? How do we prepare for the unexpected? So I think we can talk about the coronavirus, but we can also talk about preparation in general and also our dependency on shipped goods, our dependence on shipped goods, whether international or even from local distribution centers in Oregon or Washington or California. We've got our first caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just have one comment, an opinion. I think that the federal government should immediately allocate however much money it takes for anyone who thinks they might be infected to get tested. And I understand that a test can cost upwards of $1,000. And if that money is not made available immediately, any low-income people who might feel that they might be infected will choose, unfortunately, against their own goodwill, not to be tested because of the cost. And that could cause them to inadvertently infect many other people, which ultimately would cost the country a lot more. So, you know, I know lots of money is spent on programs and weapons and all this, and, you know, no need to go into that. But I think our governments, you know, who purport, to represent us, should, in my opinion, without question, immediately allocate the funds so that anybody who thinks they might be able to can go and get tested and get help immediately. And that's all I have to say about that. So thank you for allowing me to say that.
Thank you for your call. I think that's a really good idea, a good point. Testing funded by the federal government for anyone concerned that they may be infected. I think that one of the topics of conversation that we can speak to this morning when you call 503-325-0010, we've got three open lines and Pete is ready to hear from you, is the economic cost of something like this. We saw a heavy hit, a heavy blow to the stock market around concerns, but those were just concerns. But what if something happens where the ships have to stop running and the trucks have to stop driving and people have to stop going to work? You know, that's something that has been going around on some of the listservs that I belong to as the station manager about how stations are preparing for the possibility of a quarantine scenario where people are asked to not go to work. How would we stay on the air? What are some concerns that other industries face? What are some concerns that you as an individual face? Give us a call, 503-325-0010. And I want to point out that, as always, we can digress on this show. We can use one topic as a starting point to lead to another. I was conflicted whether to talk about coronavirus today or the Democratic nomination. And so if you've got a burning thought about either of those topics, love to hear from you. And we've got our next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi there. I thought I'd call because of the effort to be forward-thinking in case of an emergency. And, of course, we all know that we're under threat of a major earthquake. Mm-hmm. And some of the PBS shows have addressed that issue, retrofitting and all of this, but they also say that because of bridges and because of the, I guess, delicate nature of the coastal areas, that we would probably be cut off for up to 6 months, if not longer. And they recommended that you pull back as far as Redmond because supplies can be delivered there. That's all I have to say today.
Thank you for the call. We've got two more callers to patch into the air room. We've got one open line, so those of you on hold, hang tight. We'll get to you in just a moment. And if you're ready to call in, we do have that open line for you. Hi, you're on the conversation. What's your comment or question?
Well, you know, I've been, you know, of course, we've all been thinking a lot about this issue. We've been hammered by the media. And I'm sort of thinking that actually the media is the biggest part of the crisis. You know, this, we have pandemics every year, flu. And my feeling about this reaction is sort of like yelling at a tsunami. It's going to happen. It's going to take its course. And, you know, so I think a lot of this reaction is sort of the product of an overactive media. With really, they can't find anything else to really report on. Certainly not anything good.
Well, I struggled with whether to do this topic or not, and I did
get
some input.
Well, I think it's really good. I really enjoy your shows.
Well, and you know, I wanted to do the topic so that I could hear comments like yours. So I appreciate.
All right. Well,
I appreciate
the call. You have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. 503-325-0010. We've got one open line, and we're talking about the coronavirus today. So call in and let us know what you think. Is this being blown out of proportion by the media? I wonder if this is, even if it is blown out of proportion by the media, is this an opportunity for us to assess our resiliency? We've got our next caller. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you. I think that this show is always important, and I think that this show right now is particularly important. I think the question of how long lived, how resilient is this virus, is a very important question to addressing it. It appears, from what I heard finally today, that it's pretty resilient. But across recent time, we have seen the influenza season become a bit harsher, particularly towards the elderly and those who are kind of struggling with immunity issues because they're run down. I think it's important to make sure that, number one, there is not hoarding of the products that can combat it, disinfectants, bleach, whatever agents will work. That list should be posted everywhere. And actually, I think the state government should set aside the funds right now to make those products available for free to everyone. If they want to take this thing down, then it's going to involve a lot of cleaning, such as our great-grandmothers and grandfathers did during the previous serious influenza epidemic, which was so bad that it brought a halt to World War I. But our grandmas and grandpas got through it. And we will get through this as well. It might not be as big a deal as the media likes to make things. The irony of all of this is that because a communist torture state China has such a big surplus of funds that
okay, I'm
going to
stop you there. So that kind of language is not appropriate for this show. I've been to China. And if you are going to slander another country like that, then I'd ask you to refrain from calling in. So we've got a couple more calls to patch in. And we're talking about the coronavirus today on Coast Community Radio's call-in show, The Conversation. Thank you to our members, and thanks for listening. And thanks to Pete out there for doing such a good job on the phones. We've got our next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. So I live in the Vancouver, Portland area, and I'm a type 1 diabetic, so I am already immunosuppressed. So, of course, I'm kind of nervous taking extra precautions, and I think it is important, as previous callers have said, we're on a major fault line. There could be an earthquake, so it's always important to prepare. But with that being said, I think it's also important for everyone to remember to not panic, still live your life. You know, there are people die in car crashes every day. People just passed away in Tennessee from tornadoes. Seeing the traffic in Portland, it has decreased tremendously this past week because I feel like people are working from home, which is great. I'm afraid to go out, but we're still alive and living, and we still need to make sure that while we take precautions and perhaps prepare, that we don't get too extreme about it, and we still remember that we live in a beautiful state and we need to get out and explore, even if we are safer.
Well, again, that's the type of comment that I was looking forward to hearing from you today. So thank you for that call.
Thank you.
503-325-0010. It's the Conversation on Coast Community Radio. And just a reminder that we keep the conversation civil around here. So thank you to everyone who likes to participate and for understanding the kind of show that we're trying to run. Welcome to the conversation. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. My comment is that it seems almost ludicrous that, you know, anytime there's some kind of a disease thing that pops up, like Ebola or this stuff here, and a handful of people die around the planet of over 7 billion people. And while people are concerned about that, the number of people are dying from poverty so far out exceeds anything caused by these little disease outbreaks, then it makes you wonder, what are the priorities? And I think a couple callers back was right. I think if it was the media has a wee of a time with this stuff, and if it wasn't for the media, nobody pay. I mean, that 1918 flu was some pretty serious stuff. It took out quite a few people. But, you know, 50,000 people compared to the population of Earth was a drop in the bucket. So media has a great time with this stuff. And we all know, yeah, some people are going to die. Of course they do. There's going to be other people that are going to die from poverty in that same time frame. Look at the people living in little shelters alongside the freeway in downtown Portland. You know, there's a lot of people on this planet. It seemed like the disease takes out a few. If it's me or mine, I'm very concerned about it. If it's you and yours, well, you know what? That's just kind of human nature. That's the way it is, life on Earth. That's my comment.
Well, can I ask you a follow-up question? Are you there?
I am.
Okay, so make sure you're listening to the phone and not your radio, because the radio's on a delay.
I am.
And so my question is, to what extent does the media overblowing this...
What now?
To what extent does the media overblowing the coronavirus tie into what else is on the news right now, which is the nominations in the presidential race?
I don't know. You know, that's an interesting question, Graham. It's something like a diversion. It's like when you listen to the news, and the news is really boring. It almost like it comes to yesterday, or it comes to the weather with a certain sense of achievement, because now there's something to talk about. You know, they try to breathe air into the old bones from yesterday's news, and they just keep it going, keep it going, and keep it going, rather than moving on with something else. But this is the emergency de jure, so people are having an interesting time with it, and we'll just have to see how it shakes out.
Righto. Well, that was a thought that was brought up on a Facebook post I did about this topic, and so, you know, the coincidence of this, you know, potential pandemic alongside the Democratic nominations taking place and the presidential race coming.
Right.
Well, thank you for the call. We'll get to the next
another thing, if you've ever read The Stand, this might be the time to do it. Stephen King's story about Captain Trips, which was a virus in there that kind of dealt rather severely with the population.
Very good.
Anyway,
The Stand by
comment.
Stephen King.
Thanks for taking the calls.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. 503-325-0010. We are talking about the coronavirus today. Is the media blowing it out of proportion? Is it revealing some weaknesses in our preparation? I think that, like I mentioned earlier, maybe we can look at this as sort of a practice run to assess how many gallons of water we have in our basement and how many bottles of isopropyl alcohol we have in our cabinet and some gauze. And, you know, what are the bare necessities for an area like ours? I remember in late fall, I did a show on the topic of how do you prepare for winter, but we haven't really done one about how to prepare for an emergency. And so maybe that should be a topic of conversation soon. We're about halfway through the show and we've got three open lines. And so if you haven't called in yet, we would love to hear from you. 503-325-0010. And as I mentioned before, if you've heard all you can stand about the coronavirus, I'm happy to hear your opinions about the other elephant in the room, which is the Democratic nomination happening right now. 503-325-0010. We've got a couple calls coming in. Thank you so much. We'll wait for Pete to patch those through to the air room, and then we'll hear what you have to say. Ooh, that sounded like a click. Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, good. Go ahead.
Hi. My comment is...
Yeah, we can barely hear you. Are you talking right into the microphone?
Yeah, I think I am.
Okay, go ahead.
My comment is that people should begin an immune system diet and eating foods that will improve their immune system.
Okay, so I'm gonna translate what I could understand, but I want you to hang up and call back, okay, because I think we just had a bad connection. I bet if you call back, we'll be able to hear you better. And so that caller was talking about going on an immune system diet, and I do hope that you call back, because I want to hear what you have to say. Diet is important whether we're facing an epidemic or not. Welcome to the conversation. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hello.
I agree with most of all the callers that have called in, and I don't really understand enough completely about the coronavirus to really talk intelligently, but I think maybe there's a bigger picture that is a red flag that you've mentioned before about being prepared, but also being in people's lives, being prepared for our future, which I'm afraid is has a lot of potential for a lot of natural disasters and worse things we've never seen before, but most people's lives aren't prepared financially. They aren't prepared physically in the terms of, you know, household goods to last them for 3 months or 6 months. Nobody really thinks about that kind of thing. And I think the economic outfall could almost become worse than the virus itself. And so our whole society needs to think in a more thorough sense of preparedness, because this is just probably the tip of the iceberg of what's to come. And I'd like to just drive home to people that review your lives. See, you know, how financially secure are you? If you don't have income for 6 months, can you live? You know, if you can't buy toilet paper for 6 months, you know, what are you going to do? The nitty-gritty of it, to me, is almost, bottom line, more important than all the other things.
Well, that's a good thought. I appreciate the call.
Okay, thanks.
This is The Conversation on Coast Community Radio, and we're having a great time talking about the coronavirus. It's not the most uplifting topic of the show that we've done so far, but it is at the top of the headlines at the moment, and so I want to know what you think, and I appreciate the fact that the last caller identified as a non-specialist. I identify similarly. You'll notice that I haven't thrown out too many opinions about the coronavirus, but I do have opinions about the media or what we hear and how we react to it and how we respond as a community. It's definitely made me ask some questions of myself about how prepared I would be if I couldn't go to work for 6 months, or if the trucks stopped coming in to stock the Fred Meyer and the co-op and everywhere where we get our needed items on a weekly basis. I wanted to grill something last night and I ran out of propane, so I had to use the oven. But what if that was the only cooking fuel that I had? So many things to think about living in a geographically isolated place like the Northwest Oregon and Southwest Washington coasts, and inland in the Columbia River region. 503-325-0010. We've got 8 minutes left in the show. Plenty of time to take this conversation about the coronavirus a little further, not farther. I got it right. That's for you, Peter. Did I tell you the phone number? 503-325-0010. We've got three empty lines and a very bored Pete out in the lobby. Oh good, the phone's ringing. Last thing I want to do is rely on my own devices to fill time. As Liam would say, pregnant pause. Just waiting. There's the patch. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of talk about the cruise ships coming in, especially the Grand Princess. And I'm wondering, what about the pilots? What precautions are they taking? They jump on and off these ships and right into our town. I'm just wondering, what precautions are they taking before they jump on and off the ships?
That's a really good question, and I would defer to Joanne Rideout, host of the Ship Report, to answer that. But I don't have the answer. I think it's a good question, though. I did hear on the Ship Report that there haven't been any ships from China coming through our Columbia River bar here since this started. And so I do think that, like Joanne said, that Mayor Jones, as previous commander of Sector Columbia River Coast Guard is in charge. I have a lot of confidence that they're following this closely and doing everything they can. I don't have confidence that the state or federal governments are going to be providing us anything for free, unfortunately. But anyways, now I'm rambling, but it's your turn. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
No, I just, this question's been pondering me because there's nothing new, and I know these the bar pilots have a contract with the local cab company, which means they're jumping off their helicopter into a cab, and then people are getting in and out of those cabs. I'm just wondering if they're not, you know, is it under control?
Yeah, I hope that they're taking every measure that they can, but I think it's a good question to ask.
Okay,
thanks for the call.
That's my comment for the day.
Take care. We've got a couple more callers to patch through, but this reminded me of a point that was brought up recently about those who can't afford to take time off work even when they're sick. And this often includes people like restaurant personnel, cab drivers. And so exposure is essentially guaranteed. We've got our next caller. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Graham. It's Patty.
Hi, Patty.
For the residents of Washington, Governor Jay Inslee has something going on for the uninsured in our state, whose doctors believe they need testing. They have the authority now to cover the cost of testing by the state of Washington, and also that workers' compensation would be expanded to cover quarantine health workers and their first responders on the ground amid the outbreak. And so Washington State is doing something about that.
That's great. Do you know of any apartments for rent in Washington at the moment?
You can stay with me in Owako up in my attic.
So you're saying this came from the desk of Governor Inslee?
Yeah, so that, I mean, there are things being done, and I'm sure that Oregon's going to come through with the same thing pretty soon.
Let's hope so, but if we don't write to our legislators, then nothing will happen. So you heard
That's
Patty.
True.
Let's call the governor and see if she can help us out here.
Anyway, have a good day, Graham.
You too, Patty. Thanks for the call.
You bet. Bye-bye.
We've got two callers on hold and just about 3 minutes left in the show. 503-325-0010 if you'd like to make your thoughts known about the coronavirus. We've got our next caller. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks. I'd like to talk about something that perhaps has already been talked about. I just tuned in, but that's the politics of the test for this coronavirus. You know, it just seems ridiculous that we don't have widespread testing. And what I've seen in the news in the last few days makes me think that it's been delayed or put together in our country in a way that makes it surefire. Because I also heard that they're going to charge people for these tests, and that will charge cause people to stop coming in.
Okay,
I just don't understand how this can happen.
You cut out when you said surefire. Can you rephrase that for us?
No, I'm not sure what I was saying.
You said that the way it's being
surefire way for this to become a serious problem if people do not get tested when they feel a little bit sick, and they might not come in if they say, "Oh, I got to pay $50 to get a test."
I do remember hearing
part of the political system that drives me crazy.
I remember hearing that we can celebrate that there were no cases in Oregon or Washington, but there had also been no tests done. So,
yeah,
that's interesting. Exactly. All right.
You know, I mean, Europe has had the tests for, 3 weeks now, 4 weeks, and they had millions of them spread wide. Why on earth could we not have that going here already, you know, using their model, their type of test, using their tests? So, it just seems like politics has gotten, you know, seriously in the way of this, and I think that's a sad comment.
Well, thank you for your sad comment.
Bye.
Take care. We've got another caller to patch through. One of the threads that I've heard repeated is, what can the federal and state government do for us in this? And if you're asking the federal or state governments to do something about it, that would indicate that we have federal and state governments that are for the people and by the people. So I would like to see that come to fruition. Okay, we've got another caller. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, hello. My name's Lori.
Hello, Lori.
I was a public health professional in a major metropolitan area for 32 years, and I wanted to clear up some misconceptions of the previous caller.
Please do.
When a test is done by the Centers for Disease Control or a state or local health department, there is no charge for the test. However, if you go to a doctor or emergency department, you will have fees for that visit, but not the test itself. So there's some confusion about that.
Can you give us any other insights about the coronavirus from your professional perspective?
Well, I have a lot of opinions about it. It's fascinating to watch. I mean, briefly, it's not the Black Plague. It has a low mortality rate, we think, but it's hard to know because we don't have a denominator, because many cases go unrecognized if people are asymptomatic or have minimal symptoms. So that said, I have COPD. I'm not anxious to get it, but I'm not living in a total state of panic or anxiety.
What's your take on the run on surgical gloves and masks and disinfectants?
Silly. And I think the media has whipped a lot of people into a frenzy.
Do you think it puts hospitals and care facilities at risk?
Oh, definitely, because they don't have the personal protective equipment that they need to implement the correct infection control precautions.
Well, Lori, you're welcome to call the show anytime. But we are out of time for today.
All right.
Thanks for the call.
All right.
You've been listening to The Conversation on Coast Community Radio. Thanks to everyone who called in. Tune in next week at 9:30 for the special Pledge Drive episode, where the entire staff will be joining me in the air room, and we'll probably be talking about our favorite subject, Coast Community Radio. This is KMUN Astoria 91.9 FM, KTCB Tillamook 89.5 FM, and streaming on the web at coastradio.org.